Hello, my name is Edgar King, and I am the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
My name is Joy, and today we are going to continue our series, refocusing ourselves, going back to the beginning, and we're going to be looking at more of what it is to be invited to follow Jesus, to become disciples, apprentices, friends of Jesus. We've been looking at being with Jesus. We've been looking at being like Jesus, and today we're going to look at doing what Jesus did. So there was a man called John in the 1960s, and John, he was a very talented musician. He was very into his music. He was a keyboard player, and he loved to sing, and he was really passionate about music. He didn't know that much about church at that stage. But he found himself going to a church, and when he was there, he met Jesus. He met Jesus in his heart. He experienced something that we talk about, of the presence of God, and he just completely fell in love with Jesus and wanted to change his life, and he gave his life to Jesus. And then he went home, and he started to read the Bible that he had for a long time, but he suddenly decided he would read it and actually see what it says. And he started to read in a part of the Bible we call the New Testament, which is the parts that speak about Jesus' life on the earth when Jesus came and was alive with us on the earth and walking around like one of us. And he started to read all these parts that talked about Jesus healing people, Jesus seeing somebody that was sick, and speaking to the sickness and the person becoming well. He started to read parts about Jesus giving good news to the poor, Jesus casting out evil spirits, Jesus giving and multiplying food. He started to read about these things, and he was excited. He thought, oh, so if I'm invited to follow Jesus, that must mean we do these things too. And so he went to the pastor of the specific church that he was in, and he said to him, okay, hey, pastor, I've been reading the Bible. I'm excited. When do we get to do the stuff that Jesus did? And his pastor replied, oh, no, we don't do it. We read about it. Well, this wasn't okay for John. He felt something inside himself. He didn't know what it was, but he felt something inside himself saying, no, I think we're supposed to do these things. I think from what I understand from the Bible, we are supposed to be able to do the things that Jesus did. He was so amazed by his pastor's response, he wanted to do something different. And he slowly began to have believers, people that knew Jesus along with him, and even people that didn't, meeting in his house. They formed into a very large group. They became a church. They, in the 1970s, became the Vineyard Movement. They became the first Vineyard Church, and it was the Association of Vineyard Churches that we are now under today. That is how it was birthed. That is what John was birthed into. And they decided that in this group, they would believe that they could do these things. And so they started to pray. When they worshiped together, when they shared what the Bible said, they then started to pray that God would do these things through them. But they also started to lay hands on any of them that were sick or that were troubled and pray that God would move and would do the things that he did in the Bible. And you know, they spent almost a year doing that and seeing nothing. They spent almost a year every week praying. Somebody was sick, they would pray. And nothing changed, nothing happened. But John said we will have to continue to do what Jesus tells us that we are able to do in the Bible. And we're going to look a bit more at that today. John, in his life, he was actually sick many times. He had problems with his heart. He had cancer. And he actually eventually died of these things. He's not with us anymore. This is John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard movement that I'm speaking about. His wife, Carol Wimber, is still alive. But John, he died. But he still believed that God is who he says he is. And he still prayed for healing because he believed that God would do. And indeed, he saw God doing in his church. John speaks about something called the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. You may have heard that. If you've been around here a while, you may never have heard it. So if you have never heard it, I just want to explain. We're talking about sometimes we see the breaking through of the kingdom of God now. Sometimes when we pray now, we see it. But there's also part that is not yet, which is what John experienced with his own health. He experienced the not yet. He had to expect and be okay with the fact that sometimes he would pray and see somebody healed, and sometimes he wouldn't. And that's a lot to get our heads around. So at this point, I just want to invite us to just rest ourselves with God and pray that he would, like we sang this morning, open the eyes of our hearts, that we can see him. So let's pray. Father, thank you, for you are so, so, so faithful. You are faithful to fulfill what you've spoken, and we want to understand more. I believe there's some of us here that are even now thinking of a situation that is in the not yet, a situation that we haven't seen breakthrough. Many of us, maybe we've prayed many times and we haven't seen. But God, I also thank you that we can see the things you have done. And also, if this is our first time, we can expect to see the things that you will do. So please, Jesus, it's not by my power that you can do this, it's by your power, Jesus. Would you open the eyes of our hearts? Would you open the eyes of our hearts that we would see you? Because you are amazing, and we love you, Jesus. Thank you so much for what you're going to speak today. We wait on you. And we love you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. So we want to look at why this is important. Why is it important to do what Jesus did? Why is it important that we learn that we don't just read about these things, we also do them? We know what we're talking about. We're talking about doing what Jesus did. We now want to talk about why. And I want us to look at a verse in the Bible in Matthew 10, verse 1. Matthew was one of the followers of Jesus, and he wrote this book to explain to us some of the things he saw Jesus doing. And so he writes this part. This is what Jesus did when he was on the earth. Matthew 10, 1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Everything that is difficult, he gave us authority over these things. When we become disciples of Jesus, when we know Jesus in our hearts, we can expect to receive, and indeed we do receive, the authority from Jesus to do all of these things and even more. Jesus said when he was on the earth, "You will do greater things even than I am doing, because I am going to the Father and sending the Holy Spirit." We will do greater things than these. And we need to practice using our authority in these things. We can't just expect that suddenly we're going to just say, okay, I know Jesus, I have this authority, I pray and things happen. We expect that and we believe that right from the beginning. But we also need to be patient and practice and be aware that sometimes the results will take us intentionally practicing again and again and again and not growing weary and not growing tired. I want us to look at another story in the Bible. It's in Mark 9, 14 to 29. And I'm just going to tell you this story as I read it and as I understood it. Sometimes it's really good when you read the Bible, if you then read a story back in the way that you hear it, it can really help you to understand more what it's saying to you. And you can just do that in your own time, even with your friends, in your communities. Just share what you heard. This is exactly what I'm going to do with you now. I'm going to share with you what I heard from this story. So Jesus had been up a mountain with just a few of his friends, these disciples, these followers that we read about. And he came down the mountain and he saw a group of people. Some of them were his disciples, and they were like confused. And there was a man and his son in the middle of the group. And Jesus went over to them and he said, "What's happening here? What's the problem? What's going on?" And the man said, "Jesus, I brought my son to you. He foams at the mouth, he falls over, he convulses, his body does strange things because of an evil spirit. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." He asked them to cast it out, and they could not. And Jesus said, "Okay." Jesus talked to them for a bit. And then he went over to the son. And he said to the boy, he looked at the boy and he said to his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" Jesus asked a question. Jesus asked, "How long has this been happening to the boy?" And his father said, "It's been happening since childhood." Jesus asked the father about his faith, about what he believed, about what Jesus could do. He was asking him questions. Then I imagine that Jesus was looking to God and looking to see, what will I do in this situation? I've heard what's happening, but he was asking his father, "What are you doing right now in this situation?" When we read the accounts of Jesus' life, he was often going and spending time in prayer so that he could be really in tune with heaven on earth. And he was asking his father what to do. Then Jesus prayed. Jesus spoke to the evil spirit in the boy and he commanded it to come out. He commanded it to leave the boy. But I believe at that point, Jesus must have had his eyes open, because he then saw that the boy fell over. He convulsed like this. He fell right over. And people around thought the boy was dead. People around thought that he had died. But Jesus looked and he took him by the hand and he picked him up. And he found that he was healed. The evil spirit had completely left the boy and he was healed. Isn't that amazing? That's the kind of thing Jesus is saying we can do. But we read here that his disciples were there. They'd been with Jesus for so long. They'd seen him do so many things, but they couldn't do that. They didn't know how to do that. And so what Jesus then did is he spoke to his disciples. He planned the way ahead for them. And he said, "Okay, look, this kind of evil spirit can only be driven out by prayer." And I believe that they then were fascinated and learning and wanting to know more about what this means. And I believe that's us today. We want to know, if we can do these things, what does this mean? How can this change our community? How can this change Nakuru? How can this change Kenya? How can this change the world if we are called to do these things? And Jesus didn't tell them, "Oh, no, you couldn't do it right." His response was, "This is how you do it. This is the reason that that couldn't come out, but I'm showing you how." We need to remember, even if we try and it doesn't feel like it's working, Jesus is the one we go to and ask, and he will show us what to do. We can also ask those around us who have been on this journey and who can advise us and train us and show us. So I went out onto the streets with some people that were advising and training and showing me these things, that believed that if Jesus says these things, we can do them. And we were asked before we went out to sit and ask the Holy Spirit what he is saying to us about what will happen on the streets that day. So if you're new to that, it's just something that we want to learn and practice, is getting into the presence of God, sitting quietly, and just inviting the Holy Spirit to come. Just saying, come Holy Spirit, and just waiting. And waiting to see what he has to say. The Holy Spirit is a helper sent from heaven, sent from the Father, to live in us when we know Jesus, and we can hear things from heaven through him. So I sat and I was saying, okay, come Holy Spirit. And I felt like it came into my mind that there were some oranges and lemons that somebody would need that day. Some oranges and lemons that somebody would need that day. So when I arrived in the place we were meeting, I said to my leader, I said, so I've had this image in my mind of oranges and lemons, and I feel like maybe somebody needs them today. So can I go and buy some and bring them around with me just in case? He said, yes, Joy, this is what we're trying. Go do that. So I went into the shop. I bought some oranges and lemons, quite a big bag. And we started our journey around the town center. And I'm carrying these, and I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous. Like, what am I doing? But I thought, no, I'm going to be obedient and follow what I feel the Holy Spirit said to me. And we met many different people. And a few of them, I looked at them and thought, maybe this is the person. And asked them, do you need, I mean, how crazy does it sound? Do you need a bag of oranges and lemons? And every person said no. And we reached the end of our journey. And I had this bag, and I felt so silly. I felt like, what have I done? You know, like, why? My arm was aching, you know? It wasn't just what have I done, it was also like, ow, you know, why was I walking around all that time with these? And I thought that was what the Holy Spirit said. And I spoke to my leader and I said, I'm never doing this again. And he said, that's not the right attitude. I said, I'm sorry, but that was too much for me. And he said, okay, Joy, we'll pray for you, you go away. And so I went home and I just sat again, just said, come Holy Spirit, just sat with God, and just said, what was that about? Why did that happen? And it took a while, but eventually I just got this sense that I was obedient to do what I thought God had told me. And obedience is what matters to God, that we practice, that we are obedient. And I felt like God was reminding me of a child. You know, sometimes when you have a child, you tell them to do something and they do it slightly wrong, but you still told them and they still tried to hear you and they still acted out what they felt you had said. You're not angry at them then. You just want to train them even more and you want them to keep trying. You want them to keep practicing. And that was the heart of God that I felt in that moment. So there was another opportunity to go out again. And I thought, maybe this time I will try. Maybe this time I can do this again. I can try. That felt crazy. But let me just be obedient again and see what God does. And I was walking down the street with one of my friends. And I just got this sense in my heart that we should wait on that street a little longer. And I thought, will I follow this or will we be waiting here for nothing? Or even worse, for something bad because I didn't hear. But I thought, no, we're going to wait here. And about maybe 10 minutes after we waited, there were two men walked down the street. And one of them was smoking a lot. The other one looked like he was far away somewhere. He looked very, very disturbed and sad. And so they walked right up to us. And I just said, hi, do you need any help? Are you okay? And they said, well, we're just out walking. We don't really know where we're going to sleep tonight. We don't know what we're doing. I said, okay, we're from the local church. We're just wandering around here today to see what Jesus is doing on the streets. Can we help you with anything? And the man said, Jesus? I said, yes, Jesus. I used to know Jesus. I used to know him, but then I got evicted from my house. I got caught into this chain smoking. and I don't know how to get out of it, and I've been asking God to bring somebody to show me who he is again. And you can imagine the emotions in me at that point, because I had almost given up. And suddenly, we stopped, and there was one man who needed to hear about Jesus, who needed that obedience. And we spoke to him and we shared. We then went back to the church we were in with him, and there were some people there that were able to advise him about where he could get a home and give him some food and also pray for him and lead him back to Jesus. And I've seen that man on the streets recently, and he's so different. He looks so different. He's so changed. And that's the kind of Jesus that we know. That's the kind of Jesus that says, if you believe in me, you can do greater things. Practice these things. Come and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find that you can do the things that I did with practice and with time. And when we step out and we do these things, we can change somebody's life. I hope we're aware of that. When we step out and do these things, it's not so that we can come home going, hey, I'm like Jesus. It's not for that. It's not so that we can tell everybody, oh, look at all these things I did for Jesus. No, it's good to testify, but it's not so that we can show off. It's to change somebody's life for the kingdom of heaven. It's exactly what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He knew what was in him. He walked around and he spoke and he gave life and he set people free and he changed things for people. He changed the world for the kingdom of God. That's our invitation today. And not just a few of us, that's all of our invitations today. I want to tell another story about a girl who got very, very sick when she was in primary school. And she became very, very ill very quickly. And she had a group of friends in her church that were new to faith. Some of them knew Jesus for a long time, but there was one of them who had just come to know Jesus at the point when this girl got sick. And this friend, she wasn't happy that her friend was sick. She wasn't happy. And she decided that if she believed the Bible, that if the things in the Bible are true, she had to do something. And she started to invite this group of youth, this group of friends in her church, to go to the house of this girl who was sick and pray for her. The thing was, the girl wasn't well enough to have anybody lay hands on her or even visit her in her room. She was so sick that she couldn't even see people. So what this friend did, she went downstairs, she asked the parents if she could come into the house, and they sat in the living room, and they prayed. They prayed for healing. Sometimes we can't always lay hands on, it's good when we can, but there are other ways we can do this. And they used to come and they used to meet and pray, meet and pray, meet and pray. And nothing happened for a very long time. But they kept asking and inviting the Spirit of God to show them what he was doing. And they kept feeling together, though, this girl is going to get well. She's going to get well. So they kept praying, they kept praying. Then they began to feel that the Holy Spirit was saying that this girl should go to a church, should be brought to a church to receive prayer. And there was more people by then, there was more people praying, more people were beginning to get behind this practicing praying for healing, practicing praying for hard things to become better in the name of Jesus. And so this girl, she was taken to the church and she was sat inside the door of the church, and people came and they started to lay hands on her and pray. And the very first time they did it in the church, there was healing started to come. She started to receive healing. But then she went home and she was sick again. And it was a 6-month journey of coming and going and coming and going from the church and having her dad and her mom and her sister and all these people laying hands on her when they could and praying. Sometimes the results were there, then they would go. They were there, then they would go. but they kept praying, they kept persisting. And in the end, one day, in the church, in worship, this girl received her healing completely. She suddenly felt completely well in her body when she stood up. The entire illness left at that point. This was over 10 years after the first people came and prayed for her. But they continued to practice. And that story may sound familiar to you. It's very familiar to me because it's my story. I was that girl. I was the girl that was in bed. I was the girl that people were praying for. I was the girl that I'm now standing here well. That was me. Thank you. Yeah, that was me. And I don't know what would have happened if people didn't practice. I don't know where I would be now if people hadn't practiced praying for me. I don't know what would have happened if people had given up on me. And I wonder how many people are out there that you know, or even yourself, that need people to come around them and do what Jesus did. What an exciting invitation to us that we can be part of changing somebody's life for the kingdom of God. And you might ask, how? You might ask, how can we do that? So the story that I just told of Jesus and the boy, that gives us some good examples. And we formed out of it in the Vineyard churches this 5-step prayer model that I want us to look at today. And I want us to look at how we can do this so that when we feel that little prompt or that little idea that maybe we should do something, or even when we don't and we see a need, that we can act on it with the courage and the authority Jesus has given us. And we can keep practicing and not give up. So the first point of this 5-step prayer model that we can do, you can ask the person, what is your name? What would you like prayer for? We heard that Jesus also said, how long has this been happening? Questions like this are good, just to find out, and also to be normal, and not just stand with somebody and say, so I'm going to pray for you now. Asking them, getting to know them, what's your name? Then once we've heard that, the second part is inviting the Holy Spirit to show us what's happening. Just saying, come Holy Spirit, or whatever you feel, just standing there and even just silently listening. And just seeing whether you feel you need any more information, whether you feel that you're led to pray, whether you feel you need to just move location, whatever you feel. Sometimes Jesus took people to a different area just to get alone with God. Then we pray. And we read in the Bible, Jesus' prayers were very short. Jesus didn't say, don't pray long prayers. He didn't say, pray short prayers. But we do read his prayers were short. He just spoke to what was happening, or he just asked God to do what he felt that he was asking him to do. He spoke to what was happening. You can just say, be healed. You can just say, come Holy Spirit. You can just say, Father, open my eyes more to what you're doing, even as you're praying. And it's really good to keep your eyes open at this point, because you might see something happening with the person. I know when I was being prayed for, I was really struggling with a sore back, and they prayed for my back, but also my neck. I couldn't hold my neck up. And they had their eyes open when they were praying for me, and suddenly as they prayed, my neck shot forward like this with strength. And from that point, it stayed strong. But if they had their eyes closed, they may have missed that. It's important to keep our eyes open when we feel we can, so that we can see what is happening to the person. We can then check, we can ask, what's happening? What do you feel now? Sometimes the pain moves to different parts of the body. Sometimes different things are happening that they may want to share. Sometimes they're even feeling or seeing something. We can check what's happening. And then we can plan. We can determine the next step and say, okay, when we finish praying, thank you, Jesus. Now, will we pray again? When could we meet again? Do you know Jesus? Questions like that. And all of this will be led by the Holy Spirit and by the power of God. And I really encourage you that everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play here. This isn't something for the chosen few. You are chosen. We are all chosen. And Jesus has said he's given us authority over everything. This is talking about praying for healing, but it also is encouraging people. It's also casting out evil spirits. It's so many things that Jesus spoke about. It's giving to the poor. It's encouraging. It's freeing the prisoners. It's bringing justice to those who are oppressed. None of these things are small. They are all valued, and they are all bringing the kingdom on earth. So I'm going to invite the band to come up, and we'll have some response time. But I really just want you to know that you can do this, that Jesus says you can. I'm not saying it on my authority. I'm saying Jesus has said you can. That's what Jesus said you can do. You can go and you can speak to people and you can bring the good news. And we can do it together as well. Often Jesus sent people out in twos. He would send people and say, go in twos so that you're with somebody, so that you can be with somebody and say, what's happening here? And I also want to say that if you are brand new here, or if you don't know Jesus, or if you don't know anything about what I'm talking about, that's very okay. The people that Jesus was with, they didn't know either. The friend that came and prayed for me, she knew very little at that time. It's not about knowing everything. It's about engaging in what God is doing. It's about walking into what Jesus is doing in our world and asking him to open our eyes so that we can see that. Everyone is invited. Everyone gets to play. Everyone is equipped. When you know Jesus and you have the power of God, you are equipped to go out there and to be Jesus to the world. And I know that many of us are. Many of us share, encourage, pray. And this is just an invitation to even more of that, to what we are called to.